My name is Chris Daly. I am the creator of Striptease. You want the URL too?
Yeah.
Sorry, I kind of messed that up.
Okay.
My name is Chris Daly. I am the creator of Striptease at stripteasecomic.com, and you're listening to the Webcomics Podcast.
Beacon.
Beacon. Oh. Any reason? No.
No. Go.
My name is Chris Daly, and I'm the creator of Striptease at stripteasecomic.com, and you're listening to the Webcomics Beacon.
Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Okay, sorry. That's so hilarious.
Oh, yes. Welcome to episode 54. Five? Shoot.
I don't know.
Welcome to the Webcomic Beacon. Oh, for the love of the hobby. That's right. Here on the Webcomic Beacon, we will not ever tell you that you're not expressing yourself good enough.
Because it's grammatically incorrect.
Uh-oh.
This is Fess of PSIWebcomic.com. With me, my hostess, Tanya Higgins of Betapone.com that never updates. Welcome.
It will start again. Hello, hello. Bastard. Just get off my case. It's I
broke my arm.
It'll get there. Mm-hmm. Give me another month.
Uh-huh. Also with us, we have a couple of guest hosts with us as we talk about vote incentives and fan service. With us from Sarah Zero, we have Steph. Welcome.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on.
No problem. We also have Dromos on this show, and I forget, Xern.com, right?
Xern, yes, and it's Eric. Don't bother with my acronym. That was one of the two big mistakes of my early career, and the second was the name of the comic. So, here's the advice to all you kids out there. Pick something that can be pronounced.
Just, and stop.
It's so much more useful.
Okay, somebody's really blown into the mic with their nose.
Oh, sorry.
Somebody excited.
We could have a whole show talking about how people got to their screen names.
Yeah.
You just look in the webcomic list here. We got Uncaring Machine, 1,000 words, The Stripe Done, Cyber with S-I-A-B-U-R. A lot of people just name themselves after what their comic is, which gets confusing after a time. Especially if your comic is the name of a woman and your screen name is the comic's name and name of a woman, you're a guy, and it gets more confusing.
Oh, don't even get me started talking about pronouns. That's a night. I mean, my community is a bunch of people who switch back and forth, and so trying to figure out when you're saying, having a conversation, I'm so upset at him. Yeah, she was being really mean. Yeah, he was. I really didn't like what he did. It's confusing.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Well, as we are talking about, we're going to start off talking about vote incentives. And just to recap, vote incentives mostly have to do with webcomic list sites. And as we all know, there is, well, no shortage of those. And apparently, there's another one that just came up. This was mentioned on the GigCast last week, and it's called isitfunnytoday.com, which is kind of, I guess, more of like a stumble upon plus webcomic list type of site, as far as I understand it. So it's doing it a little differently, but yet, do we need another stumble upon? Do we need another dig? No. There's things already in place.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about this before the cast, and I can't take it anymore. I mean, you went on your rant about how you don't want any more of these, and I am so in agreement. We have what we need. We have a site that lists all the comic sites. We're done. Okay, we have one that lets you vote on it. Okay, fine. That's it. don't keep on making iteration after iteration. Well, the votes here were not quite calculated the way I want, so I'll make an entirely new system. I mean, that's great, but that means I have to sign up again and again and again and again and keep track of all of these things, and I can't do it.
Join forces with the other ones that already exist.
Keeping track is the problem. I mean, all of these sites are very useful, you know, if I guess you have an extra 20 hours a day to make posts on all of them. But for those of us that are still human, we have to pick two or three that seem to work and just kind of go with those. And I can't take – I'm with you. I can't take any more. I think the straw that broke my back was the web cartoonists or the cartoonists' extra little site off of Twitter. That's the last one. I can't do anymore. I'm done. We're through.
Yeah. I last ranted about this in Webcomic Beacon number 47, Fess is a Whiny Baby. just to list some of the webcomic list sites out there, we've got Buzz Comics, The Belfry, Top Webcomics, Frumpf, The Webcomic List, Online Comics, Webcomic Z, Choice Comics, Piperka, Webcomics Inc., Comic Space, and Comic Listing. And there's a couple of other more dedicated to a particular genre out there as well, but jeez. I mean, I always liked the vote, the ones that had the vote incentive, because it was a little bit more interactive, a little bit more of a reason or a point to have it. And I used to throw up sketches or inks of the current strip that was up. But what about you guys? Do you guys use vote incentives with any of these list sites?
I did for about 4 months, and then I started to realize that it wasn't really doing me any good. Checking at my traffic, looking at my stats, I was getting a lot more traffic from sites where it was a little more interactive. So, yeah, they might click the vote incentive, but they were already reading the comic, and it didn't matter how high up I was on the list. There weren't a lot of new people coming through. So I didn't see the point. I was kind of wasting my time, and I stopped.
I did it for a while. Yet again, it's this time investment thing where, you know, there is an advantage to having it, and I did see an increase in stats, but it was one of these things. The increase in stats was not worth the effort I was putting into them.
Right.
And as more and more and more listing sites popped up, the importance of being on the top of any one of them became less and less and less. I mean, when it was just Top Web Comics, well, then, if I could get higher on that listing, that meant, you know, an extra 50, 100 viewers for every slot up I went. Now it's one or two, because everyone's all over the place. And it's not worth the investment. It is worth the investment if you're on page two of the listing, and it will put you over onto page one, or if you're in if you are in rank 59 and it will put you up in rank 30. I mean, there are certain psychological places where bumping it up a little bit really helps. So if you're in those sort of critical spots, then vote incentives are really important. And there are some people who do just who make a ton of hits just off of the vote incentives. I've seen some people do great stuff.
But Saturday Breakfast Cereal does a great job with their vote incentives.
You are unmuted.
Oh, good. In that it extends the joke one more punchline. You know, normally he has kind of the visual punchline of the comic, the secondary punchline underneath the comic, and then the vote incentive is yet another punch. So yeah. I'm not that good.
Yeah, I know the plan was to talk about fan service and vote incentives, but fan service and vote incentives doesn't work nearly as much as story and vote incentives.
Yeah.
Of having information where the reader says, oh, I really want to see that. I've seen, for example, see a panel from next week's comic. That's a great vote incentive. I've seen see the mini comic of, you know, what I ate for lunch this morning. You know, and that also does really well. See a pinup of one of the characters. That didn't work too well for me. When I put story stuff there, it worked really well. When I said see a pinup, no one cared.
Not really.
No, no. I vote incentives. I did not get a big bump when I said a pinup. When I put a pinup there, when I said it was some mystery story thing where people said, "Ooh, I really want to see that."
Mm-hmm.
Then you get I got traffic. But when I said, you know, see a bigger image of this pinup, they said, I see it. It's cute. I'll move on.
Before we move too much on into the fan service-y stuff, Steph, we kind of glazed over you there. I know you that you have some vote incentives. Why don't you go ahead and talk about that?
Yeah, sorry, guys. I was enjoying the conversation. I listen to you guys all the time. It's so weird to know that I can actually, like, cut in. But this is the first podcast I've ever done in my life, and I'm sorry, guys. I'm just really freaking out and nervous right now. I'm shaking and scared. So, this is amazing. This is just, wow, this is cool. But anyway, yeah, you guys mentioned a lot of the current top list vote sites and stuff out there, but I've been doing vote incentives off and on since about 2003, and there's tons of sites that have actually gone AWOL, disappeared, like, since then, that aren't even around anymore. So in addition to having to always, like, register and sign up for new forums and lists and everything, there's a lot of stuff that just disappears. And so, like, it comes to a point where, like, well, how much effort do I want to put into this? And I had tons of vote buttons on my site at one time. I had about 4 or 5 of them. And most people, they only want to maybe vote on one. So it's kind of extraneous to have a lot of extras there anyway.
Yep.
And you talked about the time investment.
Mm-hmm.
Vote incentives can be a little bit easier, and what I've done with my my relaunch is I've kind of come up with a template that is fairly easy for me to populate with, like, a lot of bonus stuff. And I just use, like, almost anything I can think of and come up with, like, just from, like, rough sketches to the next episode done that's up early, or cheesecake, or just, you know, digital pictures from, like, vacations or trips or whatever, just, like, random, freaky, weird, cool stuff or whatever, storyboards, just anything, really. And I think it's been really cool for me to help boost my traffic up. Vote incentives don't really seem to work a lot for some people, but it's been pretty good for me because I only really update once every 5 days or so. So it's really helped stabilize my traffic because my vote bribes, sorry, bonuses, they change usually every 2 to 3, 4 days or so. So it keeps people coming back to my site just to vote and check it out. Oh, what has he got up there now? What's he got up there now? Kind of a thing. So it's been pretty good for me.
That sounds smart. Yeah. I mean, that seems like a smart strategy to use it, use it as extra content instead of just, you know, a vote bribe.
Yeah, and actually, Eric, sorry, I'm really surprised that you said that your pinups weren't doing very well for you, because it seems to me that in general, like, from a lot of the people I've talked with in webcomics, that pinups do really well. Earthsong Saga, she was doing really well for a while, doing lots of, like, additional artwork of her characters and sticking them up there, and she was dominating the top 10 on Buzz for the longest time.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I didn't push it well enough. I mean, also, I have the problem that I know I can make money off of my pinups.
Right.
So it's like, it's a point where I say, yeah, I could put this up and get 50 extra people who will come here once, or I could make $10 off of this. Okay.
Absolutely. That's the way to go.
Yeah, take the cash.
Well, you were saying before, were you actually having a smaller image of it already? Or, like, was it really too small, or was it, like, decent size enough?
I had a small image of it, and, I mean, I did get some hits. But I think the key to that was this constant churn of images. It can't just be, well, for this week, I'm going to put up this vote incentive. That won't do it. It's like every other day you have to switch it out.
Yeah.
And it has to be a lot of art. And it just, it reaches a point where, I mean, and I did the math on this. There was a point where it was worthwhile. When I was on page 2 of the voting area, it really mattered to get over to page 3. If there was a way I thought I could get up in the top 10 of any of those voting sites, yeah, I'd do it in a minute. But I can't. I don't have the numbers for that, and I don't have the investment to strike there. When my comic is consistently rated 30 on its own, mm-hmm, then I'll start looking at vote incentives to try to boost myself up into the top 10. But it's one of these things. It's simply a matter of time investment and what it's going to return, and it just didn't. It stopped returning enough for me.
Right. Yeah, actually, that's true. There's really not a lot of return for all this. A lot of times it's just kind of bragging rights or just getting in the top 10 or whatever.
Or keeping people active on your site a little bit longer than just coming and going.
But, I mean, you could just put that up for free, and that would keep people active as well.
Well, true.
I mean, here's
the thing.
But it's interactive.
You have a pinup image. Mm-hmm. You can sell that image. You can put it up as a vote incentive. You can put it up in your forms. Mm-hmm. Each of those brings you advantages.
Yeah. You can bring it up, put it up as a donation incentive, too.
Yeah.
And so which do you choose to do with it? You only have one pinup image. It's one of the things. I have a paid artist, and so every image costs me, and I have to get a good return, and I can barely get him to do a comic once a week. So,
yeah, we don't want you to stress yourself out for a higher ranking. Yeah.
Well, one thing I kind of like, if not like additional stuff, like behind, like another joke or some story stuff, like I will even still look at if people are offering, you know, sketches of the comic or other behind the scenes stuff, which Steph, I think I've seen you post up, you know, several times already, you know, behind the scenes stuff. And
yeah, I alternate quite a bit with like different content. Like I'll have storyboards up there, and I'll sometimes explain some of the changes and maybe some of my thoughts behind them, like almost like a DVD commentary when you're watching a film or something. Or sometimes show like shitty art and then less shitty art in comparison, so people can go, oh, okay, I see how that works now. They're just different things, yeah. Actually, some people are pretty cool with having just only like text vote incentives and stuff. Like they just maybe have like a paragraph or two or something as a JPEG image or whatever, just explaining, you know, like an intro to the latest chapter or a synopsis of something or just different things. And it's cool because sometimes with people, you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if it was worth it to me, I would put some more effort into it. I mean, I have sketches I could probably put up. And scripts and that sort of thing, but the higher ranking at this point, I mean, I'm ranked at around 50 on most of them, which is, you know, sort of good enough.
Go ahead. It's always good to have that first page prominence. Usually, yeah, say like on Buzz, like in the top 100, beyond the first page, like that's pretty cool. But right now, Buzz has kind of declined quite a bit over the years since 2003. Buzz, they recently relaunched this summer, and they don't have a forum anymore, and there's no way to track the out links as well. For anybody who doesn't know, Buzz used to have like a small number beside the comic listing that would show how many people clicked out on your link to leave Buzz to go to your site. And so there's I don't know. I was talking with Lady Yates of Earth Song Saga, and she kind of like just her and I think is it Sarah Ellerton of Inverloch? They kind of just left Buzz, and I think I'm going to be the next one to go. Really, I think I'll maybe go to Top Web Comics or something. For me, vote incentives are just kind of cool to kind of find a cool way to deliver extra content, and right. Yeah. It's kind of cool for my traffic. I think it helps me a bit. There's enough people out there who like what I do to go and see, oh, yeah, I think I'll check this out and kind of get a little more out of it than just, you know, the actual pages.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that. I'm just at the point where the gain from being in the top 20 versus the top 50, it's simply not worth it, and I can sell that stuff.
Well, that's true, because you're beyond that now. You're actually very successful, and it's doing absolutely nothing for you. But for a little puto like me, it's fine. It's okay.
Well,
now here's the other end of that, though, is because I was within Slice of Life Comics, I was always within the top 10, top 20, and that was fine. If it was overall, I was buried so far down, and I should be. You know, I'm an amateur, and so far back that climbing through the numbers wasn't worth it to me. And all it was really doing was cluttering my page with funny little buttons, and the vast majority of people that came to the site would vote once, but they wouldn't vote more than once. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they would, of course, pick the one that had the incentive. So, you know, that it does show that there is a little bit of a pull that, you know, if there's a little bribery attached to the button click, then, you know, people will do it.
Yeah, no one's going to sit and vote 12 times in one sitting for all the...
No one loves you that much.
Yes, except maybe your mom.
My mom wouldn't even do that. She's like, I don't understand all the buttons, honey. I'm like, it's okay, just leave it. It's fine.
All right, we gotta. Yeah.
Sorry, I was just gonna say one small thing. Actually, it's really interesting, Tanya, that you said that, because in this day and age, there's still so many webcomic readers out there that don't know what vote incentives are. They don't understand the concept of voting. Like, you can put on your site, vote here to see behind the scenes extra content, tomorrow's strip, whatever. And people are like, oh, what? what? Zippity-doo. They just don't get it. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how much more explicit to be about it.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I mean, when I started out, it was vitally important to me to be high ranked on those voting because it was sort of like, this is approval and
validation,
and I fought like crazy. I mean, now I'm at the point, I go to these voting sites and I say, put up your vote incentive, and then I look over there and I see advertise here. And I say, oh, hey, it only costs me $35 to advertise on this site, but to get up higher in the ranks, I'd have to put up about, you know, 30 pictures. I can make more than $35 on 30 pictures.
The webcomic list, you put up that ad for $15 in a month, you know, you get a few hundred clicks and you're good to go.
Yeah, and I'm done.
Same
thing with less work.
On webcomic Z, they're doing the same thing that the webcomic list was doing. But then it got to the point where like nobody was doing it, but they're still cycling avatars anyway. So it's like if you're paying, you're like throwing money away because some people are getting on there for free. And they got Project Wonderful ads like right next to them, so you can for sure get up there if you want to spend like it was like less than a dollar. So, but anyway, we do have to go to break. When we come back, well, hopefully we'll still be here.
The Webcomic Beacon is an affiliate of The Geek Media. The Geek Media has a number of geek-related podcasts, blogs, and videos for you to enjoy. Check out thegeekmedia.com. Have news, milestones, questions, or comments? Send your audio clips or email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
Okay, chat room, can you still hear us now after I touch that?
After I touch
I don't want to, like, break anything. Okay,
we
cool.
Told you
yay!
Us. Oh, jeez.
Okay.
Thanks, Jinx.
Okay, so we okay, for anybody that wants to know what's going on, well, you got to be in the chat room in order to. So, yeah, you're left out. Anyway, we're talking about vote incentives and list sites and blah 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 blah. And I think we all can agree that list sites and getting those vote incentives are very important for when you are first starting out and actually enrolling in all of those list sites, because sometimes, you know, a lot of people will check on, oh, hey, new comic added. And you'll get a lot of hits from the people that will see the recent entries and they'll click on that. And so only when you have a good site and a good, decent enough archive for people to actually check out, that's when it's most important, especially the Belfry. I know people get like tons of clicks because they have a recently added, notification or whatever. And I got like 50 clicks like the first day. But other than that, if you're pretty well established and you're a few pages back in the rankings, I wouldn't really worry about it. At the most, just at least add it, but whatever.
Besides, validation is always never as good as money.
Yeah, money is a great validator.
Yep. No, I would actually like more validation, or more, at least more people to comment in the chat box or in the forums. I would like that way more than anything. If my reader numbers are going to be low, I'd prefer them to be the interactive readers, the ones that'll post and comment and stuff like that. Send those are emails. My favorite readers.
Emails are like webcomic crack. That's what we all live for. You get an email that says, wow, I really loved this.
People don't email anymore. They chat box, they comment, and they Twitter.
I get emails.
You get emails? Emails telling you to update?
No, not emails telling me to update, smartass. Other people are concerned for me. Oh. You're just a jerk.
No, hey, you haven't updated in a while. Are you dead?
Yeah. No, everyone else seems to know what's wrong. It's just you, you know, my co-host that has no freaking clue.
Yeah.
I get like an email once every 2 months, and it's always starts out, I'm sorry to bother you. I know you're so busy and have so many emails. And I'm like, oh, you apparently put the entirely wrong web address in here.
Yeah. I responded to an email that I got from a fan, and the email I got back was, oh my God, I can't believe you responded to me. It's so amazing that you took time out. And I'm like, wow, it was 30 seconds, and this is the only email I've gotten this month. Awesome, I made your day, but really, you could write more. We're not all Penny Arcade. We don't all need an assistant to go through our emails. Most of us are very happy to get them. We will wade through two or three a week, I swear.
We used to get emails like that at the Webcomic Beacon for a while. Whatever. Yeah. If I don't reply, it's because I'm busy with like a ton of other stuff. But we're kind of getting down on the Searchlight and impression submission. So if you want us to take a look at your site, you know, send us an email. If you want to possibly get on as a guest host spot for fun, you know, just go ahead and send an email. If you'd like to do do one of the covers for the show, go ahead and send an email. Yeah, we'll like your emails, you know. It just may be a little bit while if, you know, we get swamped with a million emails, you know, how it is. That's webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Anyway. Yeah.
Talking about fan service, no?
Yeah.
I think right now we're talking about creator service. But
yeah.
True.
Creator service, that's great.
Fans love naked women. Creators just love human interaction.
That's right. Just talk to me. I'll show you naked women if you talk to me.
Oh, like turning into a sad Lifetime movie.
No, nobody's gotten beaten up by their husband yet.
Oh,
quick, somebody get married.
Anyway, this week's cover will be drawn by Thomas Overbeck of Times Like This at timeslikethis.com. He's going to go for the vote incentive theme route instead of the fan servicey route. So. Yeah. Okay. I was. But as
you
far as
would have gotten more listeners if you went to fan service.
Yeah. Actually, do you know that the Webcomic Beacon's spectacular failures are the most popularly listened to shows?
People like our misery. That's nice.
That's terrible.
Oh, it's a truism of storytelling. The more the character suffers, the more interesting it is.
I don't know. I don't think Becky would like to be drawn so risque as much. So, So anyway, fan service.
Well, just slap her around and make sure she knows her place. There we go. We've got her abuse.
There we go.
She's supposed to be she's not going to be a main character of the webcomic Bacon comic that we're working on, but I want to have her to be at least in the apartment somewhere. I kind of developed her character already. She works at a radio studio, but she's a mute.
The cute mute. Wow. Speaking of fan service, there we go.
I can't picture her saying much because I only draw her like showing her teeth, like smiling and whatever. But
you know, that is a fan service standard of anime and a lot of other shows, is the attractive mute girl.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh yes.
Yep.
that is a very, very popular character. The girl who is very pretty and won't say anything.
That's terrible. That's horrible.
It's psychological. She can't say bad things about you. She can't make you feel inadequate. She can't. She just can't.
Oh, she could certainly make you feel inadequate. You don't need to be verbal with that.
I guess there's something sad.
But after, you know, It is one of the stranger male fantasies, but it is out there.
It's not strange. I'm a woman. I know. I get annoyed by myself. Seriously.
Okay. So, there you go.
Shh, don't talk.
Oh, don't tell? I'm sorry. No, I'm...
Well, in any case, I think.
Back to the mental. Yes.
Yeah. Well, Eric, I think you have the most. Like, you've already been talking about, you know, fan servicey stuff, and what you, I guess what you do now is you basically sell a high res image now.
I do all sorts of stuff. I mean, I sell uncensored versions of the comic, which is basically the same comic. With the nipples drawn in. That's it. And you get money off of that. You can make a living doing that.
People like nipples. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Tony, you come up with truisms on this show.
I do my best.
No, I mean, I have talked about this before, and I have a certain amount of misgivings about using fan service to pay the bills, but I also have to pay the bills. I don't draw my own comic. I have an artist that I have to pay, and I have to find a way to get people to irrationally part with their money. Because when you put a comic up for free online and then say, you know, guys, it'd be really nice if you paid for this comic, they would say, yeah, it would be really nice if we paid for this comic.
And they continue about the merry ways.
Yes, and then they continue to read your comic online for free. And it's one of these things. It's a way to multiply your donations. If you ask for donations, you'll get a certain amount of money. If you ask for donations and promise a fan service picture, you'll get more money. And it doesn't give you donations. If your comic is bad, you won't get any money no matter how much fan service you offer.
Right.
But if you have a readership and you say, I'll give you some fan service for cash, then you will increase your own total numbers. I went about this, I mean, I was doing my comic running along and I was getting some money and I said, okay, I have this one scene, and it was an accident. I asked for this one scene, and the artist gave it to me, and it was topless. And I'm like, oh, no, I didn't intend that.
No.
And so he gave me another one where the relevant bits were covered up, and I just looked at the topless one, and I said, all right, what the heck? And I posted, you know, donation this week, get the uncensored version of this scene. And I got... $1,800.
Whoa!
And then I said, oh, wait, let's look at this.
Wow!
The advantage of this was not just an uncensored scene. It was an uncensored scene that had a particular fetish to it, that had a fetish element. I mean, it wasn't just a naked woman. My comic has as its premise, one of the characters has been transformed from a man to a woman. And this was the scene where the man was transformed from a man to a woman. That's a particular fetish. That's people like that. And if you can tap into a fetish, you know, of whatever, the cute mute, the transformation scene, the woman stuck in glue, or, you know, whatever you can tap into.
I wish there were good enough artists with a dirty enough mind to do this, but I always put myself up as a, no, I won't do that.
Yeah.
Okay, I used to write
fan service.
I should sell out, damn it.
Yeah, I mean.
You draw, I'll tell you what to draw.
Yeah. If you watch Star Wars, you know, and where Yoda's talking about the dark side, and Luke says, is the dark side more powerful? And Yoda says, no, quicker, easier, perhaps. If you watch that scene and said, quicker and easier, you say, go on. That intrigues me, this quicker and easier you speak of. Then fan service is for you.
That's right. I actually am a little uncomfortable. Which is odd, I know, but because the characters in my comic are real people, and Janine is me. So when people are asking me for, you know, nudie pics of Janine, I'm kind of like, perf. Like, you know, I understand that there's a separation there, but there's not really for me. So it feels a little pornish for me, and I hope to use Amy. She's the only fictional female in the comic. I'll just prostitute her.
Hey,
and maybe we can get Janine out of it a little bit, and then I won't feel so weird. I would hate to be at a convention somewhere, you know, and have some guy be like, oh, hey, I really love that, you know, pinup you did of me, and then I'm like, oh.
Yeah, but you just have misshapen bowling ball characters anyway, so it's not like...
I know, they've gotten better since I left the comic for a while. Now I'm screwed. They don't look like potatoes anymore. They look like people.
Oh, that was a boob. I thought it was his fist or something.
I've always been really good at, you know, you go with your strengths, but
yeah.
Ed's not so much. Boobs, that's pretty good.
Yeah, well, I feel uncomfortable with it at times.
So do I.
Oh, yeah. Steph, talk. You haven't said
anything. Yeah, sorry. I'm enjoying the show. Tying into fan service and vote incentives, I started back in 2005. I started doing what I call the Valentine's Day sex drive, where basically for one day only, I do a brand new nude picture of Sarah, just usually topless. And it's really interesting that it's kind of grown every year since then, and a few other webcomics, friends of mine and stuff, have gotten into it as well. And so it's become like a little mini event every year. But I got to say, it's somehow a little bit creeps me out, you know, because I'm just like, this is my character, and I don't know if I really want to be doing this, but man, it really shoot me up the top list. Yeah. So it's kind of like, it's kind of weird, but... yeah, it's
prostitution. Strong.
I tried looking, and apparently, can you only grab these on Valentine's Day? Because I tried, you know, they're not there because I was looking for the show, and I saw this section, but you can't click on anything, get anything.
I've tried different things over the years to try to streamline them into the rest of the site, and I would just have them as censored versions that people could look at. And then I just decided to take them off the site because I don't know. I just got a little creeped out by it. Like people were starting to link to them, and I was like, "Oh, gee." And so the fact that I'm starting to feel a little ashamed of it, I think that's telling me something. So I think it's time to pull back on that, or maybe start selling them. That'll be awesome. I'll make $1 million.
Sell them or sell the originals.
Yeah.
I want to mention that on the webcomic Ardra that I work on with Jason and Trevor, for the vote incentives, Trevor will occasionally have, you know, like one of the, obviously one of the female characters drawn in, usually in like a bikini or something like that, a little risque, but still I think more so what would be PG. But, you know, they're called the Ardra Fantasies because they're completely non-canon and are a little bit pushing it for the general rating of this site. But I don't know. It seems to be doing good for vote incentives anyway.
Yeah, actually, lots of people use bikinis and stuff, and it's pretty socially acceptable. Lots of webcomics I've seen have done that. Akita, Bigger Than Cheeses at different times, and yeah. Sorry, other sites and stuff like that. Like, bikinis are cool, but it seems that when it comes to actual, like, nudity, like boobies, like people, like they kind of get polarized about it. They're either really into it or they're just totally creeped out. Dude, I have no more respect for you anymore. So yeah. People are just kind of like they have their own thoughts about it.
Context.
Anyone that would be, you know, thrown off by, you know, me inserting a little bit of sex into the comic wasn't reading it anyway. So yeah. It just doesn't really matter. You know, I'm kind of pretty unabashedly MA at this point, but
yeah, unabashedly.
I've occasionally got those emails of, you know, you get putting up selling nude pictures of your characters. I just have no more respect for you. And I'm reading this and I said, you had respect for me? Wait, when didn't you read the comic? I mean,
what the hell have you been reading? I think you've clicked the wrong button, ma'am.
But I mean, there is a bit of social responsibility and a bit of creepiness to this. Because it is always women. It is always, you know, the sort of, I mean, and I like the sort of the fan service, the fetish of the cute mute, because it sort of identifies what the fetish is and what the overarching thing is of a woman who is sexually available and pretty much an object.
Right.
And there is this sort of uncomfortableness with putting more of that out into society.
It's not always women. The vast majority of it is women, yeah. But a lot of especially the more manga-oriented fan service is yaoi. So, you know, you do see the, you know, oh golly, topless male. But, you know, it's... but yeah, more often than not, I guess I'm not trying to get money from 14-year-old girls. So, you know, the yaoi thing isn't really going to, and it has no place in my comics.
Even a yaoi.
You could use it as a joke, though,
entirely different. It's not so much the nudity, it's the guys looking longingly at each other, which is dull, but
it's like the forbiddenness of it,
yeah.
which adds to it a lot.
Yeah, and it's all this conceptual, and it is less offensive.
It's,
I mean, I look at yaoi and I go, this is still, go ahead.
I'm sorry, it's boys acting in the way girls wished boys acted.
Right.
It's all it is. When you're a 14-year-old girl and your mind is full of all the mush that they push through it on, you know, Cinderella and all of that nonsense, you have this notion of what men are like, and they're not. Thank God, but they're not. So, you know, yaoi's all about appeasing that 14-year-old longing by allowing men to behave toward each other the way they wish they were behaving toward them.
Yeah, and I mean, fan service is for the 14-year-old boy in the same way.
Exactly.
I would like a woman who has no mind and is simply there for my pleasure. And
boobies! Yay! Yeah, and it's...
I don't know. I'm all about a little bit some sort of cute outfit with a little bit of tease more than just, whoa, I'm naked. Type of thing, but that's me. And I'm sure there's others, but I also like to. Oh shit! What was I going to say?
I don't know.
Damn it!
We'll just pretend you've been very insightful and move on from there. How about that?
Oh wow, that's amazing!
Very good point, Seth. Wow.
I said it later. We won't know the difference.
No, I think I'm gonna. I think I'll call this show "Pay Me Attention" or "Money."
You know, you don't necessarily need to be using sex for fan service too. There's other methods of fan service. I think fan service even just comes with being available, being on forums, and you know, letting people into your life a little bit and into the creative process a little bit. That has done more for me
than boobs ever will. Well, maybe not will, but have. you know, just you know, chatting with people and helping them with their own projects and, you know, talking to other creators and things like that does a lot to build a community around you as well. And, you know, it's mutually beneficial. But a lot of that can be considered fan service. You know, when a fan writes me and says that they like the comic and they wish that they could do something on their own, but they're not really sure, and I help them, I mean, that's part of it is, you know, I want them to feel a part of my process, and I want them to stick around, and, you know, as well as helping them. So it's not all about TNA. It helps, but
Can I say something? The TNA undermines the other types of fan interaction. Because when you have a site that has wall-to-wall, you know, naked women, or even a site like mine, which is sort of fetishy, you have much more reluctant fans to, you know, speak up or get in contact with you. It's a much more distant relationship. And that is the downside. You know, I get money, but I don't have a lot of fan interactions. And that is the drawback to that.
I think being a girl, I get that kind of a double hit. So I've seen people sort of stare at me and kind of whisper and then eventually come up and talk to me. But I didn't think I was as intimidating as apparently I am. There is that threat that, you know, you make yourself taboo. And in doing that, you do lessen your fan interaction.
We must go to break.
Yes, sir.
Do you have something quick, though?
Yeah, I was just going to say that another type of fan service is how some people can get really invested in our work and maybe get to know us personally, either through emails, chats, or something. And sometimes they get to the point where they're like, hey, you really should do this, or you should really do that. And I think that sometimes these kind of thoughts, they kind of start to work on us and may start to, you know, inadvertently influence how we start to do things. And I think there can be a bit of a danger to that. So I think that maintaining a little bit of a different distance from our fans is a bit of a good thing, because I think it maybe helps keep us a little more on track with what we're planning and what we're doing.
Yeah. I agree.
Otherwise, everyone would be boobs.
as far as the eye can see.
That's even the guys and the robots and everything would be freaking boobs.
That's either really disturbing or really good for somebody right now. But we got to take a quick break and please return.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on RampageNetwork.com. Be sure to check out our weekly live broadcast on TalkShoe.com. Listen in, chat, or call in at webcomicbeacon.com/live.
Everyone is boobs. There we go.
I think that's perfect. It would be like the
validation.
The South Park that they did that was kind of a rip on the heavy metal cartoon, where it was the booby temple and just boobs. All boobs.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, heavy metal is sort of the perfect example of this.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's absolute fan service. It's 2 hours worth of fan service.
Yeah.
And occasionally
you know what's then? What about the fan service webcomics like Menage a Three? It's specifically
that.
Just it's all fan service.
That one is just. I mean, yeah. I always thought I was shameless, and then I read that comic, and I'm like, oh my god. I have so far to go.
I was surprised because I used to be a reader of There's Always Porn. It was one of my favorite little funny webcomics. And Menage a Three came around and I'm like, this is worse. How can you be worse than There's Always Porn? it is what it is, and you know, it's not
and
my thing.
They're not being, you know, the shameless about it, and they're not trying to pretend like it's not that. So that's what kind of makes it all right, I guess.
Go for
There is, I mean, maybe we should talk about this when we come back, but that is a very good example of what happens when you become too dedicated to fan service, because the story suffers.
We are back.
Oh, we are back. Yeah. All right.
We don't really give formal breaks around here. We're going to break and then keep going.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, the problem with that comic is there's so much that is just so contrived, and you're reading this and you're like, what? And I mean, if you actually get over the fan service and start to read it, it doesn't make any sense. The characters don't make any sense because it is every panel has to lead to another fan service moment.
Another titillation. Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of these things. In my own comic, every time I have a fan service scene, my numbers go up. Anytime I have a story scene, my numbers go down. and I get less money. And it's always this thing where I'm just looking at this and I'm like, well, I really wish I could have a reason to put someone naked in this scene, but it won't fit. And it would totally undermine the story. So I guess I'm eating ramen noodles this month.
Ramen tastes like lack of porn. That's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Well,
man, this tastes like virtue.
Well, in the spirit of fan service, or at least you know, naked bodies and such, I've only in my comic I've only drawn one character in the nude, and that was borrowed from Rogues of Clodron, which I've long since gone back and covered it up with a bush because I've wanted to, because I didn't really like it, and I also wanted to make sure my comic was all one rating, just because, but I did. Get back. I met Rinder at the Comic Genesis cookout, and I drew a naked fairy in his sketchbook for him. You know, because that's what you do. You pass around sketchbooks and you draw stuff. And Rinder and Gothia like to have you know. I think they're nudists or whatever, but they like nude stuff in there. So I will say I drew Nemi nude once for Gothia in her sketchbook. But typically, especially in my comic, you're probably never ever going to see that. In fact, she'd probably pull my balls off if I did do it in comic type of thing, you know.
Wow.
That's just not what my comic is. And like, you'll never see, I set myself up to never really have fan servicey stuff, really, I guess.
It is a PG comic.
Rainer and Agafia are examples of having nudity without fan service, because their comics are not fan service. And if you read those, the nudity in there is not sexy nudity. It is a person naked.
Yeah.
and there is a very big there's the nudist webcomic.
Loxie and Zoot.
Yeah. And that's not fan service at all. I mean, you read this and you're saying, I know I'm looking at pictures of naked people, but this is the most unsexy thing I've ever looked at. I mean,
sometimes there is, but
nudist holiday. You know, it's funny and kind of like arousing for 3-4 minutes, you know, and then people are talking about taxes and it's just life, you know, so it loses all that. I prefer my nudity to be titillating rather than just there all the time. Frankly, I don't have a lot of time in the day.
But yeah, I mean, but those comics, the nudity is handled in a manner. And there is a lot of intention behind fan service, more than just a naked person.
Right.
And it's not playing into one of these fantasies that are held by, you know, whoever. It's not fetishy. It is simply this particular person happens to be naked at this point because A, they're a nudist, because, you know, they're taking a shower, because whatever, but it's not delivered in a way that's titillating at all.
Yeah.
And it's very important to make that distinction, that being naked is not the same as fan service. It's not the same as porn.
Absolutely.
And sometimes even nudity is used for comedy. But, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, yeah, I know what you mean, because I had a scene fairly recently where Sarah's standing on stage and all of her clothes get shredded off her. And the angle that I show her at is slightly to the rear, and everything is kind of obscured. And actually, I was totally not creeped out by this at all. But it's just a metaphor, an idea that she's totally been stripped of her dignity, of her facade, of whatever sort of defense that she had. She is naked. You know, everybody every once in a while, I guess, has had a dream of, you know, being in a situation where you're embarrassed because, you know, you don't have any sort of a defense or anything, or you're naked or whatever. And so that, for me, that's what that scene represented. And basically, you know, there was no titillation to it at all. And I hope that that's how people took that scene.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense now. I have to admit, I get really confused by your comic sometimes.
I know. What I need to do is have an audio commentary for every single panel. So I can say, you know, like in those like film strips you used to watch in class, you know, like back in the 70s, like, now change the slide. Okay, now we're looking at this one, and this is what we're supposed to think.
Exactly. I loved those.
Like the museum tour guides. You get those headsets that you put on.
Oh, yeah.
Here's your out right now. This is what you can do to earn money. All you have to do is put the audio commentary on mini discs once a year. Send them out to fans for $3 a piece, and when it goes boo, they click for the next comic.
Holy crap. That is freaking awesome. I have to do that.
I think that's a good idea. Wow. Yeah. The audio commentary.
You know what? No, screw that. I don't think I'm going to try to sell them. I think I'll just upload them somewhere as a torrent. Cut out the middle.
That's beautiful. I love that.
Well, I kind of wanted to touch on some other stuff since, you know, we've been talking essentially about getting attention and interaction and even, you know, money. Even if you are doing a comic as a hobby and not as from a professional standpoint, if people are willing to give you money, hey, I think the trick is if you're doing it as a hobby, just don't be so like, oh, I should be getting money because, you know, whatever, you know, just, you know, don't be a jerk about it. But if people are willing to pay, go for it. But one thing I wanted to bring up, one of the webcomics that I was first introduced to when I first got into webcomics, and it's a furry comic, is Dan and Mab's Furry Adventures at MissMab.com. She's got one hell of a following, and it's like a G-rated comic. And there's like nothing sexual. Well, okay, there's sometimes like little, like they'd be mostly used for jokes if there's something sexual or, you know, whatever, but it's essentially a G or PG. But when she has these things that are called wallpaper wars, holy frick, the fans come out of the woodworks and she gets like up to, you know, a couple thousand dollars in people donating to one side or the other, depending on what type of wallpaper they want her to do next.
Oh, nice.
And wow. It works. I mean, she changes like this little bar with characters on each side because it's usually involving whatever characters for this vote or whatever characters for this vote, and they'll conversate and they'll talk about, so it's kind of like fourth wall breaking, you know, it's like a mini comic essentially that updates, you know, every once in a while whenever there's like a lot of donations. So it's kind of like a little mini comic as well. And she does fantastic with this. And already she has a really great following anyway, because when her computer completely crashed and she was trying to move to Canada, I think she got like up over $5,000 in just donations to help her out. It's like, that is fan dedication. Holy crap.
And that's because, well, one, she's not a prick. I mean, she's a, you know, it's personable. The comic's personable. She talks to her fans. She keeps that sense of community, and it's a good comic. You know, it's not crap, and it's, you know, she's dedicated to it, and it's, you know, yeah, you do build that community, and the community, I think, means more than what it is you're offering. You can offer superb things, and if you have three people that read your comic, it doesn't matter.
Well, that much. Know. I mean, to those three people, it may matter, but,
yes.
But still.
But, you know, if you have a community of people that are invested emotionally in what you do, mm-hmm. then it's easier to ask them to invest financially.
Yeah, but, I mean, here's the thing about people. They like their money to actually go to something.
Yeah.
And the biggest mistake people make with their comics is they make the comic and they throw up the donation button. And they say, donate. And they get nothing. And they say, I'm not making anything off of this camp. Well, there's no reason to donate.
Right.
People want something in return. And now it doesn't have to be of equal value. But they want an inside look of, they want either interaction with you, the author, or they want, you know, some control, or they want something that is a little bit fetishy.
Yeah.
And so you have the three kind of pillars of money is fan service is one, but then you also have community is the second, and the third is control. And
yeah.
Those are the ways you're going to make money. So either you give someone control over your comic, saying, okay, the donation, when the donations, whichever donation has the highest, that's the story I'll do. You give them an inside look at your comic. Give me a donation, I'll give you a script, a sketch, or something like that. Or you give them something, you know, fan service-y. Give me the donation and I will show you, you know, my character tied up over a vat of lipstick or something like that.
Okay.
Wow, that is a specific fetish right there.
And yet it exists, I guarantee
yes,
you.
Yes, oh, I know. Oh, believe me. However, I know.
But, I mean, those are the three ways, and you have to give one of those things to your readers if you want them. Now, with computer crashes and that sort of stuff, people are going to donate because they're getting interaction with the comic. They're getting part of the community. So if you have a real need and you say, I have a real need, please help, you're going to see your fans come through for you once or twice. You do that every month, they're going to say, what the heck is going on with your life?
You don't get to have a crisis a month.
Yeah.
You only can use the excuse that my grandma died so many times.
I'm a commune baby. Do I get to do that for all of the six sets of, or the three sets of parents?
Oh,
that's
geez.
Like six sets of parents. That's a lot of cats.
Well, this
well, my grandmother is the second coming, so she can come back as many times.
Well, I wanted to mention a little bit. I mean, sometimes it's not entirely fan service because sometimes some of it might be stuff that the creator wants to do anyway. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. if the fans ask for it, they got more of an excuse to, oh, the fans wanted it. But, you know, you can actually get a chance to, I really wanted to do this, but I can blame my fans for being the perverts, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's really common, though. I mean, in any aspect of American sexuality, especially if there's something you're ashamed of, if you can find a way to blame it on something else, you still get to have the fun. That's why bondage is so big in America. It's like, oh, I couldn't help it. I was tied up. Sure, I asked him to, but that's against the point.
I didn't necessarily say no.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the nice thing. My comic is 100% what I would want to see, because I like nipples just like everyone else. That's true.
I appreciate the honesty.
Some of this could also turn into, you know, commission work. Like, you know, it's a little bit more specific and also can be a little bit more down to individual fans or whatever. I'm not sure how it works for everybody, but sometimes, you know, if people are hurting for money, or just as some artists will do, they'll open up for commissions and they'll draw whatever. Or I'm kind of getting off a topic here. I wanted to mention real quick. I'm trying to go to a con next year, and part of what I'm going to actually do, I'm actually going to actually try to sell commissions and do some of this stuff that we've been talking about, but without going to the exposing and such. So unlike, say, like for Affinity, I'm probably not going to make anything because I'm not going to do anything sexual. So I've probably set myself up for failure here, but...
Yeah. Yes, embrace the dark side.
I really don't want to, though, but...
We know you want it.
Not really, but I don't know. I mean, maybe somebody else's characters or whatever, but I really can't. Like what Steph was saying, it's like I would feel really uncomfortable doing something really sexually enticing with any of my characters unless it's as a jab or a joke.
Well, that's how I feel about my own characters, but you know how badly I wanted to draw Becky naked when I did that cover for you a few weeks ago. I have no problem with that. Hey, sorry, guys. Fest wanted me to draw her that way. Sorry. Out of my hands.
It was Fest's fault. Yeah. I want to see it now. I want. That'll be my personal fan service.
We got a long show here, and we got to really wrap it up. Just to mention a couple of milestones this week. Sequential Art has hit 500 strips in the last week, I think, and Awkward Zombie, sort of gamer comic, I think. It uses Smash Brothers characters a lot. That has hit 100 strips. So check those out, Sequential Art and Awkward Zombie. Anyone else has milestones? Be sure, like, on the hundreds, on the year, go ahead, send us an email at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Before we go, we got a few minutes here. Steph, is there any webcomic that you'd like to put a spotlight on? Just go ahead and pimp some webcomic that you really like. That's not that popular.
Oh, gee.
Quick, go! Oh.
No pressure. We know not nervous or anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think you've ever done this to any of your guests before.
No, it's just more funny this way.
Actually, yeah. You guys go check out Cybor. It's cybor.com. It's a friend of mine that I've gone to a couple cons with, Lou Graziani, and it's about a mutant cyborg that's been genetically engineered by the evil government to turn him into a super soldier. And it's some really cool stuff. He recently put out a book and just tons and tons and tons of archives online. Just really great material. Really fun. He's a good guy, so check him out.
Can you give the address one more time? Because I think I got it wrong.
Oh, sorry about that. It's cybor.com, mm-hmm. cybor.com.
Oh, you said hyphen. We say dash.
Dash. Sorry. Dash.
I say tack because I was in the Navy.
Tack. Eric, is there any comic out there that you'd like to spotlight?
Actually, I've been trying to think while he's been talking. I really can't come up with anything. I know I'll think of it as soon as I hang up the phone.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That's very helpful.
I know. I'm going to have a shitload of stuff to say after I hang up.
Yeah.
It's okay. We'll have you on again, and then it won't be sad.
And the best part of the story is when I listen to this podcast later on, I'm going to try to jump in and actually start to say stuff, thinking that I'm still recording.
You do that too. Huh? See, this is nice for me because I interrupt the Webcomic Beacon all the time. It's just this is the first time you stop talking.
Well, it's because I want to hear what everyone else is saying.
No, but I mean, when I'm just listening. When I'm listening in the future, you are incredibly rude, I gotta say.
We are. We really are. We are in reverse. We do our best.
but this is awesome. This is really great. I love it. Yeah.
We like having you on.
Yay. Oh. We gotta get more people on. I like having people on, which is why anyone who's interested in being a guest host for whatever we're going to be talking about, send us an email and let us know. We'll stick you on a list. Just a couple more quick notes before we go out here. Again, anyone who's interested in working on the Jenny Everywhere Misadventure Global Comic Jam, well, it's kind of off the Global Comic site because it's kind of... Well, it's not there, but it's currently being hosted on the Shifter Archive at misadventure.jennyeverywhere.com. .net, sorry. And check that out if you'd like to get in on a Jenny Everywhere Jam. Check that out. Other than that, we do have to get going, but next week we'll blah, blah, blah. But next week we will have some of the crew members from Night Zero. It's a photo comic that is damn it.
See, there's no reason for you to be nervous, Steph. We don't know what the hell we're doing. You're fine. You've been eloquent, and this is all lovely.
Another one of those damn it comics. You got a lot of those on.
It's a zombie photo comic. It's a zombie photo comic with some high production involved with it. Definitely go check that out before next week's show, nightzero.com. We will be recording our next show on the 21st. We'll probably have Mark Savory with us as well that week. But anyway, that's it. Going in order, myself, Tanya, Steph, and then Eric. This has been Fest of PSI Comic, PSIWebcomic.com.
This is Tanya of Betapone.com.
This is Steph of SarahZero.com.
This is Eric of XRN.com.
That's all for the Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.
Hey, just a quick reminder to everyone who's been interested in and helping out with the Webcomic Bacon Communal Webcomic Project. Head on over to the Webcomic Beacon's forums that are on the Rampage Network and check out some of the things that we're discussing. We're talking about a character design yet. Some of the people from the show are still working on their sketches and descriptions of the characters. We're also wondering if we should be making the characters and comic open source or a Creative Commons license. Be sure to vote on that as well. We are also discussing website design, so please come to the forums and give us your input. We hope to get the whole project well underway by the time that 2009 comes out.